Welcome to the Conscious Investor. Let's get started. Today, I am joined by a friend that I've been able to get to know because of podcasting. And it's such pure joy and pleasure to have you on my podcast now, Evan, because I've been on your two podcasts and like, it's just great. It's like welcoming someone into your home when it's, you know, fellow podcasters. So Evan, welcome to The Conscious Investor.
Thank you so much for having me. It is always a lot of fun to be on the other side of the mic. Usually I am the host. And I'm the guest, so it's always really exciting to have that change of pace.
Yeah, and you're not just, and we're going to get into this more in a minute. I have other questions that come first, but what's really fascinating is that you're not just typically the host, you're also a podcast producer and serve so many, you know, you have a whole clientele, a business that you run. And we're going to get into that. But before we do, one thing that was particularly endearing when we first connected, and we connected via Facebook first. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So shout out to social media. Anybody who's a social media hater, I meet all of my favorite people on different platforms, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram occasionally. Anyway, I just want to say, make sure you're connecting out with people because you meet extraordinary people. But one of those elements that was really, truly endearing, Evan, was one, you work with your mom, which is amazing and super cool because I want my son to want to work with me down the road, right? Not too many years. I'm gonna throw this out there. You quit college. You're like, what? Mm-hmm. And you bet on yourself. Like, you've done so many things. You've been this entrepreneur and you're quite young. And it's completely inspirational to me. And it's also, honestly, I'm kind of looking at you as like, huh, okay, well, how did Mary influence, you know, Evan so that he was empowered to go down this path? Because I would like to do the same. So in this conversation, you know, let's go down that rabbit hole. I'd love to hear some of the elements that shaped you, some of your young entrepreneurial experience, and how you grew into a podcaster and podcast producer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I will go ahead and tell you my kind of entrepreneurial origin story, I suppose.
I feel like it's a comic book in the making.
Yeah, right.
I mean, because really it's like a superhero. I think entrepreneurs, like true entrepreneurs, are a little bit like superheroes because it takes
a lot. I'd say so. It takes a lot of effort. I mean, they're in the minority of people, you know what I mean? And it's very powerful. So I started out back when I was in high school because you know how it is kind of when you're young and you kind of want some extra cash to burn, right? When you go see friends and all that kind of stuff. And that was me. And all my friends were getting jobs, right? One of my friends worked at his dad's law office. You know, you got your typical, Target or, you know, McDonald's or whatever. And my mom saw that I was looking to make some extra cash. She was like, well, hey, because she is a big entrepreneur, always has been, and always thinking of these kinds of things. She had a podcast and she was like, well, hey, if I teach you how to edit my podcast, if I teach you how to do it, would you do it for me? And I'll, you know, pay a little bit money to do it, a little bit of money to do it. And so I said, yeah, sure. And she taught me how to do it. I did it. And then eventually some time went by and she gave me the idea to do it for other people too. You know what I mean? Like, hey, why don't you do this for other people too and charge them more? And so I was like, oh my gosh, that I never thought of that. And so I did. And I did that, continued to grow. And, you know, fast forward, that was back in, I probably started it in like 2015, something like that. Fast forward till now, and I've gone through lots of ups and downs, but I'm still podcasting. And it's been a lot of fun and a lot of lessons learned along the way, for sure. A lot of maturity because I started out very young, but I mean, I was still young, you know what I mean? And I still am young as well, but definitely been a lot of lessons learned for sure, you know, throughout my journey as an entrepreneur.
Well, and I think that that is such a fascinating element because, one, if you're starting out as an entrepreneur in, you know, your teen years, in those formidable high school years, you're already doing something that's swimming upstream compared to the standards, the norm, right? Like you said, you get the typical minimum wage jobs. You know, my first job was fast food and I couldn't stand the way it, like, my hair smelled like French fry grease at the end, but I really liked, you know, that discretionary cash as a high schooler, you know, so that we get roped into those, but you were already swimming upstream and trying something different. So it does, like, express like a different level of maturity. I'm curious, how was that, if you could go back in time, how was that for you with your peers? Did it differentiate you? Did it create any friction, or how did you feel as a person?
Yeah, that is an interesting, that's a very interesting question that I don't think I've ever been asked before. It was hard for anyone else to really understand what I was doing. I did not talk very much about what I did with my friends and with people I knew who were not in the online entrepreneur space. Because if you do, like, I was lucky enough to have my mom growing up, and she has been an entrepreneur for pretty much my entire life, doing different things, doing different businesses, and finding her path through entrepreneurship. So it wasn't anything new or crazy to me. But to my friends and, like, my high school girlfriend or whatever, like, they didn't understand what I was doing. And so I never really talked about it, honestly, because I feel like they probably thought of it similar to, like, you know, if you have, like, a friend who's into some MLM, you know,
pyramid scheme. Exactly. Literally just thinking that. I'm like, they just think you're into MLM or something.
Yeah. I have a feeling that's exactly what they thought. Especially back in high school when I did not have a coherent plan and a coherent vision. I was just like, yeah, I'm just, like, editing podcasts, you know, just like, I was just like a guy editing podcasts that you'd find on Fiverr or whatever, but a little bit more expensive. Whereas now it's like an actual agency, like, you know, that I produce podcasts for people professionally. It's not some, it's just a contractor. I have a team, you know, the whole nine yards. And so, but back in high school, that was not the case. So I just better off not saying anything.
So how did you, was that difficult? Did it create points of, like, disconnect with your peers? Did you find connection with other people, you know, in your same niche? Or how did you navigate that? And what advice would you give to younger entrepreneurs to encourage them?
Right. It did not create many difficult points when I was in high school and early college, because I was from the outside, I was still following, like, the path, right? The normal path. I graduated high school. I went to college, the local college here where I grew up. And so from the outside, no one would realize that I did podcasting essentially on the side. So there wasn't really any difficult points there. As far as who did I meet online, I mean, no one who I would consider, like, a close friend. However, I am all about relationships. And so I'd consider a lot of people I meet online friends. You know, maybe not, like, you know, if I'm having a difficult time or a great time, I would call them, you know, yeah, type of friend, right? But I'd still, you know, I consider them friends. But I mean, especially in high school, most people I was working with or talking to were, like, in their 40s or older, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was on a similar level as they were. So, you know, there's that. But when I dropped out of college, I, by this point, had moved across the country from where I grew up. So I was not in constant contact with my close friends from high school. And so that didn't really create a lot of tension there because I was too far removed from the situation. As far as young entrepreneurs, as long as you have a clear plan and you know what you're doing and you have a vision, and if someone asks you what you're doing, you can clearly answer them, then you shouldn't have to worry. And if someone just, like, trash talks that, you know, then that's, I mean, that's not on you, right? As the entrepreneur, that is on that person. And they are being close-minded, assuming they're not doing it as like a fun jest, right? If they're like, actually, like, this is stupid. Why are you doing this? You should go get a job like everyone else. Yeah, the answer is screw that. Why would I want a job like anyone else? Jobs suck. I tried working at Starbucks and it lasted like a month before I quit. I was like, this is stupid. Why would I do this if I could just put this time into the podcasting? Like, that's no, this sucks. So, you know, that's the advice I would give to a young entrepreneur who maybe is facing tension surrounding their choice of career. As long as it's not an actual MLM or pyramid scheme, in which case, yeah, get out of that. Stop doing that. If it's a legitimate business, then just double down and continue to do that. Because, you know, fast forward 10 years down the road and you'll be richer than all your friends. Not that it's, you know, a competition or whatever, but just keep that in mind.
And doing what you love, being, you know,
exactly. Being
your own boss, double-edged sword, but... Dang, I like working for myself a lot more than working for others. And exactly. It gives you the ability to serve people in a far different capacity because you're unrestrained. It's like, no, I get to call the shots. So I can serve them and I can,
you exactly. know, go to the And the time freedom you get is ridiculous. I mean, mm-hmm. I have friends from high school who are in law school right now and they're gonna become lawyers. And it's like, yeah, you gotta put in the work and the hours as an entrepreneur, but you know. They're the hours you choose. Yeah. So it's yeah. So I can't imagine being like a lawyer or a doctor or something like that. Good on someone else if they want to do it, but I want to be able to at the drop of the hat be like, you know what, I think I'm gonna take a trip to a blank place. I'll just go do it. They can't do that.
Yeah, and that is the reality, and it is a interesting balancing act I have found, you know, between being able to call those shots and say, you know what, my kids have a snow day today. Unfortunately, today it's my podcast recording day, so I'm not going to ditch my, you know, everybody and go play in the snow. But on other days, you know, if it's just work that I'm working on, okay, well, I can do that work at nighttime and go out and do something.
Exactly. Like, or the podcast recordings is not going to last, you know, 10 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's probably only a few hours of recording and you can schedule the days. And so it's just, you definitely have more time freedom overall as an entrepreneur than you would otherwise.
Definitely. So switching gears a little bit, I hear this from a lot of younger people. And I started investing and participating in real estate in my early 20s. And I'll tell you, I looked like I think I looked like I was 12 on my first business card. You know, it's, I mean, I crack up. I saw one within the last year. I came across one of those business cards. I got to find it and just take a picture and post it because it cracks me up. Right. It's just like,
yeah.
You know, still have like a round little baby face and all of a sudden, you know, I mean, it's absolutely hilarious. But I remember, you know, feeling intimidated because I was young and I looked young and all these people that, you know, were in this business, they had far more experience than I did. And, you know, I just had that I don't even know how I can be in this space. But right. I was, because I was ambitious and I'm like, no, I'm going after this because I want to. And that's how I'm wired. But I speak to, like, even 2 days ago, I was talking to a young investor and she was expressing that. She said, I don't know. I'm so young. I really want to do this, but you know, and so she and I had some really good dialogue on that I think was helpful for her. But how did you manage that mental barrier between, oh, I'm in high school or I'm in college and you're in your 40s? And
right. I would say it all comes down to confidence. Honestly, if you are confident in yourself and your skills, then there's no need to worry, because just because you're younger than someone else, that does not mean that they're automatically automatically better than you are. Because when I was like, you know, 19, 20, I played in the same fields as, you know, 40-year-olds or over in the world of business. And you don't know how many times I got that that comment from people like, wow, you're really young, but like, you know your stuff, you know, like people welcomed me into the world of entrepreneurship. And there were people who kind of assumed I didn't know much. And there were times too where I was easily intimidated. And so I lost control of the conversation, and they kind of took control and just like tried to advise at me like you'd imagine some kind of like old mentor type guy would talk to like a kid, you know what I mean? And it may have been valuable advice, but I was like, I just, you know, felt bad about it or whatever. And so for someone who is worried about that, I would say to remind yourself that you are in that world right now. Doesn't matter how old either of you are, like you're both in the world equally. And in the same way that it's like, it's never too late, right, to do what you want to do. Yep. It's also never too early to do it either. And so as long as you're confident in yourself and your abilities, then, you know, portray that, and they're not going to like fight you on it. If that makes sense. You just have to like be willing to be like, yeah, no, I am on your level, you know, even though I'm 21 or whatever. Then they'll be like, oh, okay. Most likely. And if they're not, if they're like, no, you're just some kid, then you don't want to be associating with them anyway.
This is I love that advice. I love the way, because a lot of people, you hear that, oh, it's never too late to reinvent yourself or to find yourself or, you know, fill in the blank. But a lot of times you don't hear it. It's also never too early. I love that, Evan. Absolutely love that. That's just going to be plastered in my mind now for quite some time, I'm certain of it. So, you know, shifting gears once again, let's go ahead and talk about like, what do you do, right? So we have podcast editors and we have producers and we have, you know, and there are tons of people that listen to this show, actually several who have recently started podcasts, who are interested in starting a podcast. And so let's talk about, what does a podcast producer do? You know, what do you do? And let's just start there, because I was going to go into like 10 questions all at once. So maybe we should just do one at a time.
Right, right. The logistics of what I do is that I edit and produce podcasts. I take the raw audio and the video, and my team takes the raw audio and video and turns that into an edited show with show notes and audio, you know, audio that's clean, video that's clean, thumbnails on the video, fancy audiograms that, you know, can be used for social media. The back end stuff that the entrepreneurs don't necessarily want to do, because who actually does, you know, want to do that? And I do it not because it is an incredibly difficult skill to learn. I do it because it is an incredibly time-consuming
yes.
task. Anyone can edit their podcast. I always tell people, like, if the money hiring an editor is what's stopping you from starting a podcast, just do it yourself, because podcasting takes a long time to grow, assuming you don't already have a massive audience, which I feel like I'm just going to go ahead and assume someone listening doesn't. Or at least doesn't have a huge audience. So it takes time to learn, takes time to grow. Just start, hire someone when you can, because you can take that time and put it back into your business, doing something that you're good at, or into your family, or just into yourself, or you can take a nap, whatever. All of them are probably more important to you than editing a podcast. So that's the logistics of what I do. As far as more the spirit of what I do and how I think it really helps people, I think the most important part of business, and I am very sure in this belief, I believe the most important part of business is building genuine relationships with people that you enjoy, that you feel good about. And of the many different ways that I've tried, podcasting is by far, I think, the best way to go about doing that. So that is, and that's what I try to help the people I work with to realize and take advantage of as well. So if that makes sense, that is a summary of what I do.
That makes total sense. And I'm just going to echo on that part about developing the relationships, and you and I've spoken about this, and listeners, you've heard me touch on this in other episodes, but I mean, living in a rural location, that's what drove me to launching a podcast. I wanted to have conversations with people I could learn from. And by having a podcast, it creates a fantastic platform. Like, why not just record that conversation? And now everybody can benefit from it, not just me. And I can develop a relationship with this person that is a little more substantial than just, you know, some quick fly-by-night passing by on social media. It's like, oh, we got time off air on the front end and the back end. And I've gotten some incredible advice from, you know, forerunners in my field. So those relationships are very, very powerful.
Oh yeah. You'll be surprised. Pretty much everyone will say yes to being on a podcast. And what that gets you is an hour of their time to sit and have an engaging conversation with them. And that is how you build a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. So you mentioned something about podcast growth and about how it takes time. And since we're talking about podcasting right now, like, what has been your experience with the podcast? I'm assuming you've helped, some clients launch their podcast. So, you know, talk about that, because most people don't realize that it does typically take time to grow your listenership. And there are some podcasts that just, you know, just take off right away, and they've really worked hard maybe to trip some algorithms or something, you know, but let's just talk about that growth part so that we can comfort people.
Yeah. So there is a saying that I think applies perfectly to podcasting, and that is, when was the best time to plant a tree? Well, the best time was 20 years ago, but the second best time is now. And it's the same thing for podcasting, right? When was the best time to launch a podcast? As far as growing the audience, I mean, it definitely takes time, but it's time that's kind of, it's correlated to how much work you put in, how often you release, et cetera, et cetera. I would just say, if someone is, because I'm all about actionable advice. So if someone is looking to start a podcast and they want to, you know, grow as fast as they can, besides all the typical business stuff, right? Have a website, have somewhere for people to go, all that kind of stuff. You want to be able to have guests on your podcast that have audiences themselves, and then be a guest on their podcast as well. Because when you do that, their listeners trust them. And when they're interviewing you, then they trust you. Their audience sees that. So then your audience trusts you. And then their audience becomes your audience. And so then those people are added, and those people start listening to your show, maybe. And so if you keep doing that, then it continues to grow until you get to a point where you can afford like a, you know, social media manager or someone to, you know, really kick it in high gear. But that is, does that make sense?
Totally makes sense. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, that totally makes sense. And that part about cross-pollinating audiences, and that's what you and I are doing now, you know, as the conscious investor, you know, it's powerful to hear a young entrepreneurial story and the investment in creating a business. That's really important. But you also have your podcasts multiple. And so it's like, great. Now we're cross-pollinating, and we're sharing our audiences. And if they hear you and they like you, then they go over. I do this all the time. I hop around to different podcasts because I'm like, whoa, that person's amazing. And
podcast listeners love to listen to podcasts.
This is true. This is true. Oh yeah. My gosh.
But all of it, it's like they're all byproducts of the relationships that you build, honestly.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. When you think about starting a podcast, what are some elements? Let's talk to from your professional, you know, position. Let's talk to the person that wants to start a podcast. What are they looking for in a producer? If they're scouting out and they're, you know, just looking at different people online and looking at what they're offering, what are some of the highlights that they should actually look for?
Right. So there's a few different routes you can take. I feel like there are three main avenues if someone is looking for a producer. Avenue one is the typical Fiverr guy, right? They're cheap, but you get what you pay for, right? The work is good. You know, it's editing. It's solid editing. I'm not saying if someone's on Fiverr they're bad or that you shouldn't do it, but it's not going to be incredibly personal. You're just going to pay Fiverr, and then bing bang boom, you're going to have audio that's been edited. but no special extras, nothing that's like, you're going to have to still do a lot of work. They just take some of that grunt work. Avenue two is perhaps someone like myself, where it is more of an established business or agency, but at the same time, the agency is run by someone who was like myself, where it's, one of the cornerstones of my business is personal kind of boutique service, where I talk to whoever I end up working with, and we have a conversation around what they need, how I can help, and it's very, very individualized. But they still get the skill and support of a dedicated team, you know, people that have skills in the world of podcasting. So it's going to be more expensive than a Fiverr guy, but they get a lot more value out of it, I like to think. And then Avenue 3 is a really large advanced podcast production like company. You know, if you just look up podcast producer on Google, those are probably the guys who you're going to see first. But there are no face to those businesses. It's just you pick their package and you upload your audio or whatever to their software, to their website. And then bing, bang, boom, you get it back. But there's no real personal service, but perhaps it's faster. Perhaps it's cheaper. I'm not sure. Maybe not faster, but it might be cheaper. I don't know. You'd have to compare all your options. It depends on what you're looking for. That's what I try to do, and what I try to help people with is the relationship side of things. I build really strong relationships with people that I work with, and you know, I do good work for them, and they get that personal service, which a lot of people, I mean, that's why independent businesses exist. That's why you might go to your independent butcher shop or deli instead of just like Walmart for groceries or something like that. As far as what people would like look for in an editor, if they choose one of those paths, if someone ghosts you or doesn't talk to you, obviously that is a sign to not work with them, because I mean, if they're not going to message you, you know, in a timely manner, then will they get your episode out in a timely manner? I don't know. And neither do you. So it's all about the relationship. If the relationship rubs you the wrong way, find someone else. Of course, I hate to say this because I don't want there to be, but there are a million podcast producers out there, right? I'm not doing anything new. You go to someone because of them. So someone would work with me because it's me doing it, not because I edit podcasts, because there are. I mean, same thing with like a social media marketer or someone working in investing, right? How many people are there out there that work in investing and teach investing? A lot. Someone will go to you because it's you, right? How many marketers are out there? A lot. Someone will go to like someone like my mom does social media marketing and chatbots and things like that. A lot of people do that. Someone will go to her because it's her. So that if that answers your question, that it's just focus on the relationship.
Well, you know what? That's exactly the same thing in, you know, the apartment syndication, real estate investing that I do. You know, we always say bet on the jockey, not on the horse, like know who you're working with, have a relationship with the person you're working with, because you can have confidence in that versus I'm just betting on, you know, this particular outcome.
And you know, that it's something you can count on for the long haul. You know, mm-hmm. Someone like myself, where I'm really invested in what you're doing and who you are. It's like, you know, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not just going to drop them one day without saying anything. Like I'm invested in it as they are.
Yep. Yep.
Someone who's invested like that.
You really do. And I mean, when you're working with a good editor, then you end up hearing things like my editor who said, hey, just a heads up, you're interrupting a lot, you know, and was willing to like pass along some productive, very constructive criticism that would help improve my podcast. So it's a matter of like, when you have those relationships, then your editor is able to help you improve and grow even. And you can't, you know, it's going to be difficult to receive some constructive criticism, you know, if you don't have a relationship with the person. But if you have a relationship and you know that person is investing in you and believes in you and your message, like you're going to hear it a lot better.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks to that relationship that you're talking about. It's like, it's a real relationship that is going to help like really improve the quality of your podcast.
If it's a good relationship, I mean, the producer is going to, if you're, let's say, having like a monthly call or you're calling or whatever, and there are questions, they'll be like, hey, you know, can I give you some, I listen to your podcast a lot, right? I'm editing it. You mind if I give you some constructive feedback on your interviewing style as someone who has listened to countless hours of entrepreneurial related business podcasts. you know, let me tell you what I've heard. And then, you know, and then there's a conversation there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Very, very, very true. Okay. One last question before we have to wrap things up. And that is, you know, when you were scaling up your business, you know, what was that like? What did you do to scale it? Some of the challenges that you faced and the growth that you went through.
It's an ongoing process. There have been a lot of ups and downs. For me personally, the struggles I faced and related to scaling my business came from personal struggles. It's really difficult to grow a business and work on a business when you're so preoccupied with something else. Like I got very sick a few years ago. So that made it very difficult to work and focus on scaling. I went through a very difficult breakup, which made it difficult to focus on business and scaling. But as far as the, just how I've been able to do it and how I've been able to go about growing my business to what it is today. I mean, honestly, I said it before, and I'm just kind of repeating myself, but it's honestly just all about relationships. I mean, you have to have a place for people to go to and connect with you, right? So make sure you have your social media, make sure it looks nice, looks professional, website looks nice, looks professional, et cetera, et cetera. Otherwise, other than that, if you have a kind of a home base like that, read books, right? Get the knowledge. More importantly than that, do the stuff the books tell you to do. Don't just read the book and go, oh, how interesting was that? And then move on. Do the stuff the book tells you to do. And the biggest thing, again, is the relationships. I mean, start a podcast or however it feels right to you. But in my opinion, podcasting is one of the best ways to do it. And find people who you think are interesting, who you might want to work with, and reach out to them and have a conversation with them on your podcast if you want. And then either, you know, one of three things can happen. You're allowed to work with them, which is awesome because you've given them an incredible experience in your podcast. They really like you. You tell them what you do. And they go, oh, that's so interesting. You know, I'm looking for someone like that. Boom, there's a client. Or avenue two is that they're like, you know, I think I have someone who fits this exact, you know, persona or whatever. You tell them who you want to work with. And they're like, oh, I know someone who's exactly like that. You just describe my friend. So the boom, business, right? Referrals. Or avenue three, none of those happen. And it was just a great conversation that you had that you can use as content on your podcast. And maybe you got an insight or two out of it, which boom, that is amazing. And so I would just say, focus on doing that. That is what I have done. This worked for me. And it has been very fulfilling as well, which I think is the most important part of it.
I love that part. I completely agree. It's so fulfilling, you know, having the conversations, getting to know people, especially you. This is our third podcast recording between all the podcasts. And it's just joy. It's like, oh, it's mm-hmm. I'm so excited to see you again. I'm like, oh, hey, I get to hang out with Evan for a bit. And, you know, we get to share some really valuable information that's going to support a lot of people, either with their own children, with where they're at in their journey of an entrepreneur, an investor, or, you know, it's just so many obstacles that can be helped. And I love it. Evan, this has been pure joy. I always enjoy, you know, the conversations that we're able to have. Can you please tell everyone everywhere, where would you like to send everyone so they can get all things Evan?
Yes. Well, you're more than welcome to check out my website, pathtopodcastsuccess.com. And you can check out my podcast of the same name. Julie Holly is up on there. And I'm always available on Facebook to have a conversation. If someone wants to reach out to me, go for it. Or you can send me an email at ipodcastedit@gmail.com. You can find me there too. But yeah, main place is the website, pathtopodcastsuccess.com. Path to Podcast Success is the podcast. And that's what I'm all about. So that would be where you could find me.
That's fantastic. We will have all of those in the show notes. And thank you so much for hanging out with us and listening to this awesome episode. Make sure you go and check out everything that Evan's doing. His conversations on his podcast are so fun. I enjoy your interview style. you know, it's very similar, this just a really natural conversation. So if you're enjoying this podcast, head over to his podcast, because you're going to, you know, hear a lot of different voices speaking on a broad variety of topics that I am confident you will enjoy. Until next time, live big, love bigger.
Overwhelmed by apartment syndication, but want to learn more? Let me help you press the easy button. Head over to 3keysinvestments.com and download Syndication Made Simple. I explain simply how the process works, who's involved, and how you can get started today. You're smart, and with this simple guide, you'll be able to understand the process. Head over to 3keysinvestments.com and download Syndication Made Simple.